Begin the current daf. Mesech the site of daf mem ches. Begin on the bottom of daf mem zayin mabez. 2 lines up in the bottom of the amud. The Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, which spoke about different things that were stopped in the Jewish history because of different circumstances. So the Mishnah says that Yechon Kohen Gadol hever havidoyis hamayis v'chulu. He stopped the procedure of what's called the confession of the tithes, which there are certain maisers a person has to give, maiser anin, maiser sheni, maiser rishon, and when a person finally in the third year he gets rid of it, he liquidates it, he gives it where it has to go to, then he makes the confession of the maisers, so he stopped that recital. So the Gemara says, my time, why did Yechon Kohen Gadol stop this? So Amr B'Yisi, Reb Chanina, he says, Lafisha ein noisin oisa kitikuna, because they're not giving the maisers, the tithes anymore as they're supposed to be. And the reason being is because Drachmana, Amr D'Yahavi L'Leviyim, the Torah tells you that who do you give maiser rishon to? You give it to the Leviyim. Now, however, as the Gemara continues, Tabim Chasim and Allah, Vanan Kuyavina L'Kahanim. We give the maiser rishon to Kahanim. As Rashi brings from the Gemara Masechet Yevamim of Peivama Beis, where Ezra, because of the Leviyim not having come up after Golas Bavel to the building of the Bayis Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, so Ezra penalized the Levim. So therefore, says the Gemara, since we don't give anymore as they're supposed to be given, we cannot say, as the Pasuk says, V'gam nesativ l'levi k'kol mitzvascha. Part of the vidui is that I also gave to Levi as the commandment is to give Ma'aser Rishon to him. We don't do that anymore. We exchange the Levim for Kahanim to give Ma'aser Rishon to. Now, the Gemara asks, Bavalei Diashar Maisers, but at least let him say the Vidui for the other Maisers. There's Maiser Sheini, there's Maiser Ani. Why should that stop entirely the whole Vidui? So that Amar Shlokish, he says, Kol Bayis Shein Mizvada al Maiser Rishon, any house where they're not saying the confession for the first tithes, so Shovein in Mizvada al Shar Maisers, so therefore you can't say the Vidui for the other tithes. My time, what's the reason? So Amar Bayi explains, Hoy lo Pasach ba'akas of Tchila, since the Pasach opens up with the Maaser Rishon, if you're not doing that, you can't say the rest for the other Maasers. Whereas the Pasuk says, V'nasata l'levi, that's a reference to Maaser Rishon. When it says l'ger, that's a reference to Maaser Ani, the convert is generally poor. And when it says b'sharecha, that's in your gates, that's a reference to Maaser Sheni, whereas the Pasuk says elsewhere, l'isuch alecho b'sharecha, you can't eat it in your gates, you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So you see b'sharecha is a reference to Maaser Sheni, so since the first one reference is Maaser Rishon, if you can't say that, you can't say the rest. Now, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of why Yechon Kohen Gadol stopped the Vidui Maisers is because, although people were giving it, but they're not giving it to, it's, as the Pasuk says, what you're saying, Vidui unto the Levi, rather than giving it to the Kohanim. Asks the Gemara, Mechlal Dafrusha Havei Mafreshu, but the inference is that the people were separating in the times of Yechon Kohen Gadol the appropriate tithes, they just weren't giving it to the right address, at least, meaning halachically they had to, because of Ezra's penalty, but they couldn't say the Vidui, which says to give it to the Levi. On that, ask the Gemara Vatan, but learn the Braisa that says, Af hu, him, also him, meaning Yechon Kohen Gadol, he was Bitel Esav Vidui, as we mentioned before from our Mishnah. He stopped the recital of the Vidui Maisus, and V'gazar Ala Demai. He also made a Gezeira regarding what we know as Halach of Demai, which again, that means Demai, what is this? Which is as follows. Why did he make these Gezeiras? Because he sent out agents throughout the Jewish people. Varan, he saw people were only separating from their produce, only Truma Gedolah, which is, let's say, generally 1/50th of the crop, which goes to the Kohanim. But Umayser Rishon, Umayser Sheni, but the first tithe, which goes to Levi, the second tithe, which then the person himself eats in Yerushalayim, Miktsasin Ma'asin, some of the people were giving that Ma'aser, or Miktsasin Ma'asin, but some of them were not giving that Ma'aser. So Amalehem, so he said to the Jewish people, Bonai, my sons, Boyu Vayim Alechem, come here, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain to you what's going on. Keshem Shet Truma Gedoyla Yesh Bo Avin Misa, just like the Truma Gedoyla. There's a sin of death for partaking from produce which you didn't separate the Truma Gedoyla, which is called Tevel. Kach Trumas Ma'aser. So too, when you have the Trumas Maiser, which is when you give Maiser Rishon to the Levi, he has to then give a tenth of that to the Kayan from his own tenth, which is called Trumas Maiser, and Vitavel also untithed produce. Yesh ben Oven Misa, that also has the sin of death, which as the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin of Pei Gimel Ma'alf explains where the source for that halacha is, that we know that the death of such a sin is not just for Truma Gedolah, it's also for Trumas Maisers and for Tevel. Now, hence what he was telling them was that when you purchase produce from the Am Haaretz, they only separated Truma, there's still Tevel in there, because in that maestris, which were not separated, is in there the tevel of trumas maestris, and you're going to get punished with the punishment of death. So Amad v'heskelem, so Yechonikon Gola got up, and he instituted as follows. Halakech peris me'ama arter. Someone purchases produce from an ignoramus. Mafresh mehen, he has to automatically, the one who is buying from him, separate, and this is what the halacha known as demai is, you have to separate maestr rishon and maestr sheni. In other words, you have to take up all the maestrs, because or else it will have a halachic status of tevel. Then, maestr rishon, mafresh mehen trumas maestr. Then from the maestr rishon that you separated from the produce you bought from Ama Oretz, from that maestr rishon, from that tenth, you have to separate trumas maestrs, meaning, let's say, what a Levi, who that's what the maestr rishon you're separating on, he generally has to separate that, what's called trumas maestr. So now this Yisrael, this Chavr, this Talmud Chacham, who bought from Am Oretz, he separates from this own produce one tithe, and then from that tithe he takes another tithe, which is called trumas maestr, and that's what he gives to the Kohen. Now, the reason for this is that he gives it to the Kohen is because trumas maestr, just like as we said before, of truma gedayla or of tevel, has a sin of death attributed to it. So therefore, the takana was to be stringent that the person that bought this produce from an ignoramus, which we're not sure, maybe he took off all the tithes, but there were many that weren't taking off the appropriate trumas maestrs, meaning the maestrs and the trumas maestrs, which Levi would then give from his own, not to hold on to it, but rather to sell it to a kohen. And because the truth is, he could hold on to it because of hilchas mamonis, when it comes to monetary law, as we'll shortly explain, by the maestr rishon and the maestr ani, that the person says, I don't have to give it to the Levi, I don't have to give it to the poor person, because I'm mitzvah mechaver al varaya, you being proof that the person I bought from did not separate maestr rishon and maestr ani. But by the kohen, we don't say that he could keep it. We say that he should give it to the kohen. He doesn't have to give it, he could sell it, but he shouldn't hold on to it. The reason being is because we're concerned if he's going to hold on to it, he might come to consume it. And if you're consuming it, you might be consuming trumas maestrs. But regarding the maestr rishon itself and the maestr ani, that is no problem because that's permitted for a non-kohen to eat it. The only problem would be stealing from the kohen. However, as we're explaining, umaiser sheni oyla va'oichle b'Yerushalayim. The maiser sheni, he could go out and eat in Yerushalayim. And so to maiser rishon, the maiser ani, he could hold on for himself and just eat it. The reason being is because, as we said before, hamitzi mechaveru olav arayah. Whoever wants to remove something from his friend with a claim, it's incumbent upon him to bring the proof. And here, he would tell the Levi, tell the ani, or the kohen that he has to give it to, who he wants to get paid by, say, you proved to me that the person I bought from didn't take off trumas maestrs. We don't know. Now, but one thing that we see from this is that, actually, not like how we had explained before, that everyone gave their appropriate trumas maestrs. They just didn't give it to the right address, and that's why they couldn't save the maestrs. Here we see that actually didn't take off the appropriate maestrs. Because that's where the whole institution of the halacha of demai comes from. So how can we have said before that it's because we're not giving it how it was meant to be given, which sounds like as we inferred before, but they are giving it. Where here we see clearly that there were people, which was part of the takan of Yechonah Kohen Gadol, that weren't giving the maestrs at all, let alone giving it but not giving it to the right address. So that the Gemara answers that, truthfully, like we said before, the reason why we stopped, as the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, was the vidui of maestrs, was because they weren't giving it to the levim anymore. Now, although we quote a braisa that made it sound like that, what do you mean? Not that just they weren't giving it to the levim, but they weren't giving it at all anymore. So that's what the Gemara answers. That is not going on the takana of being mevatel the vidui of maestrs. Rather, that's going on a different gezeira, known as the gezeira of demai, as the Gemara explains, tarti tikin. There were two things instituted by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. First of all, as the halacha of our Mishnah, which is bitul vidu de chaverim, which is even chaverim, tamid chacham, that give their maestras and their trumas. Now, and that is what the halacha of our Mishnah said, that although that they separated, but since they're not giving it as the Torah says, which is to the levim, rather to the kehanim, so therefore you can't say anymore that v'gam nesatav lelevi could call mitzvascha, because he's not giving it to the levi. So you can't say the vidu. Now, another thing that was mentioned in the braisa was v'gazer al demai shalama arts, and so too there was another gzera regarding the produce of an ignoramus. If you purchase from him, that you have to go ahead and separate now, because of doubt, the maaser rishon, the maaser ani, and all these tais, because of, as we said, lafish hashalach, because he sent around and he saw that not everyone's taking off, besides truma gedayla, the appropriate tais. So that's a different reason. But again, the vidui of maestrs was solely because, even for the chaveim who do give the appropriate tithes, but they're not giving it to the right address. Now the Mishnah said that another thing that Yochanan and Kohen Gadol did was Va'afu bitalas ha'ma'orim. He also stopped the ma'orim. So my ma'orim, what are the wakers? So again, this is Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, as we see that these takanas are related to the kahuna, which we said before was for the maestris, and here it's also that he stopped the ma'orim. So Amar Rachava, he says, B'chol yayim v'yayim shahayu imdim levim al duchan. Every single day when the levim would get up on the platform in the base of Mikdash, and they would say a pasuk and tell him that says, "Ura lo masishin Hashem, wake up! Why does Hashem sleep?" So Amal Hanser Yechner Kangala said to Levim, "V'chiyashin lefnei amokim. What do you think? They're sleeping in front of the omnipresent." But the pasuk and tell him says, "Hine lo yonim b'leishin shami Yisrael. Behold, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. The one who safeguards the Jewish people." So Ella, rather, it's bizman she Yisrael shurin b'tzar. At a time when the Jewish people are in pain, whereas the idol worshippers, they're in peace and v'shalva and tranquility. That's l'kach nema'ur l'masishon Hashem. That's when the pasuk applies of awake. Why do you sleep, Hashem? But again, not during a time when there's nachas and shalva for the Jewish people, and therefore when there's a beis hamikdash and you're singing the shira over here, you shouldn't be singing that pasuk because hinei lo yonim v'lo yishon shem Yisrael. So he stopped the ma'irim, those who sing the song of Ura. He also stopped Ves HaNoikvim, the ones who are Noikiv. So the Gemara says, my Noikvim, what's the Noikvim? So two interpretations. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel, he says, Shei Mesartin Le'igul Ben Karnav, because the Kehanim that were doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bang the calf between its horns, meaning when they wanted to make the calf fall down to the ground that they could slaughter it. And the reason why they would bang it between the horns was Kadesh Yipul Dam Be'enav, so that some blood should drip down into its eye, so it won't be able to see and won't be able to be so strong and strengthen itself to stand up on its feet. So according to this interpretation, the word, the Neikvin, is like a pasuk in Yeshayah, it says, V'nikav Sivcheyar, which means to cut. So they would cut between the eyes to make that this blood should be in its eyes. But Asa'ihu Batal, but Yechon Kohen Gadol came and he stopped this practice. Mishum Demech Zikimuma, it looks like a blemish, which again is problematic for a carbon, so therefore he stopped that practice. Masnit Utan, in the Braisa we learned that the word Noikiv actually means something else, what he stopped. They would take the animal and they would hit it with sticks because they wanted it to fall down to the ground, again, to be able to slaughter it. Now, in this interpretation, the word Noikvin comes from the word of hitting and banging. Like the Gemara says elsewhere, like in Chulin, Ein od menakef afilets boy. A person doesn't bang even his finger, again, without there being a cheshman in Shemayim. So it comes from banging, not from cutting. And the reason and they would do this again to make it fall down. Kedek sh'is no'is elef ne'avitz kechavim, how idol worshippers do in front of idols. Now, Am Lehem, he said to them, Ad masay atem achil nevelis l'mezbeach. How long are you going to bring and sacrifice nevelis, dead animal carcasses, for the mezbeach? Now, the question is nevelis. What does that mean? Hashachet la, they would slaughter it. What nevela is when it wasn't slaughtered. Here it was slaughtered. Elarad, the Gemara says what he told them was treifus, which is an animal that has a moral defect, which again is also not kosher. And the reason being is shemenikiv krim shel mayach, is because maybe when you're banging on the animal's head, that it would actually penetrate the membrane of the brain. And therefore, amen v'heskelem tabois b'kaka, rather what he did was, what he instituted is, that he made that there should be rings on the ground of the azara, which is so that they could stick the neck of the animal into it, that it stays in one place, instead of needing to bang it, which could cause the animal to become a treifa. Moreover, the Mishnah said that ad yom av hayipadish makab yishlem, until the days of Yechon Kohen Gadol, they had been banging of the hammers of the anvils in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara explains, that means b'chol shel moed, as we explained the Mishnah, which in the intermediate days, you're allowed to do work that's called davar aved, that's going to be a loss. But since it's made so much noise and people don't know that it's coming from a place of Avod, so he stopped the practice. Now, moreover, the Mishnah said that kol yamav lo haya adam tzarach lishal al ha-demai. All his days, a person didn't have to ask regarding the demai. So the Gemara says kedamaran, like we said previously, which is that he was misakin that whoever purchases from an amaretz has to separate his own maestris, and therefore no one had to ask his friend that was also a chaver who purchased from an amaretz, did you separate demai? Because again, that was something that was instituted in his days, that everyone has to automatically separate demai when he purchases from an amaretz. And therefore you know that the chaver already has something that was misukin. Now the next mishnah continues on the theme of the previous one, again, this concept of mishabatla. that when things during the history of the Jewish people that caused other things to stop. So the Mishnah says, Mishabat le Sanhedrin, when the high court, the court of 71 that was in the Lishkas Agazis, ceased to be, so batl hashir mebeis hamishtois. That stopped song coming out of the houses of feast, of festivities. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, b'shir lo yishtu yayin v'gaymer, that with song, they don't consume wine. Now the Gemara will explain, from where do we know from this pasuk, that that was at a time when the Sanhedrin was batl. Mishamesu nevim harishayim. The Mishnah continues that when the earlier prophets passed away, which the Gemara will explain who that's a reference to, so batl urim v'tumim. So that then the urim v'tumim, which was this certain paper that was inside the cheshen that was carried by the Kohen Gadol, which caused certain words of prophecy to emanate from that, that stopped, that ceased to function. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so batel hashamer, so the certain worm that will, as we'll explain the Gemara, ceased to be, and v'noif tzoifim, which again the Gemara will explain what that's a reference to, that stopped to be. Upaske anshe emanim Yisrael, and people of faith, which is that they trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they rely on Him to do good, and they're not worried that they're going to be losing by doing good, also ceased to be. Like it says a pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Hashia Hashem, save Hashem, ki gamar chasid b'goymer, because the pious have ceased to be, as the pasuk there in Tehillim, Perakid Beis, pasuk Beis concludes, ki fasu emunim ne'odim, because the trustworthy ones have ceased to be from mankind. Pshimigam Lilaim, he says, Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, and the testimony comes from Rabbi Yeshua, the Megayim Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, was destroyed, Ein Yoyim She'im Bay Kol, there is no day that doesn't have a curse, B'le'yard HaTal Avracha, and the dew doesn't come down for blessing, Emanitel Tamaperis, and the taste of the produce has been taken. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Avnitel Shuman HaPeris, so too the fattiness of the fruits, has of the produce has been taken away. Shimon Elazar, he says, HaTahara, they're ceasing to be of purity in the Jewish people. Not less atam esarech has taken away the taste and the smell, and hamaisrus, the ceasing of the appropriate types. Not less shuman hadogan has taken away the fattiness of the grain. The chachamayim, the sages say, has nus v'hakashafim, immorality and sorcery kilu esakol, has wiped out everything. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, Umaydim Mishabatla Sanhedriksiv. Where do you see from that pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah in Yeshaya that Bashir lo yishtu yayin, that there was no more singing in the houses of wine, that was at a time when the Sanhedrin was batl? So Rav Huna Bered Yeshua, he says, because the Amar Krav, because there's another pasuk in Eicha that says, Zikeinim Mishar Shavasu, the elders, a reference to the Sanhedrin, that when they ceased to be from their gates, Bachur miniginasim, so then the young ones from their singing. So we see that if they're not singing anymore, so that must be a reference because the Sanhedrin have ceased to be. Amar Rav. Rav says, related to this idea about when the Sanhedrin stopped, which was by the times of the right before the Churban Bayis, that they stopped the singing. So Amar Rav, he says, Udnu deshama zimra, an ear that hears music, ti'akar, will be uprooted. Amar Rav, he says, Zimra bebeisiv, if there's music in the person's house, Churva b'sifa, so the destruction by the threshold. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Sefanya, says Kol Yeshur b'chaloin, the voice is singing by the window. Chayir b'saf, destruction is by the doorstep. Ki arza eira, which literally translated as because the cedar work is a city. Now the question is, my ki arza eira, what is it? What does that mean? So Amr Yitzchok, as he explains, what do you think? Because ba'yis ha'mesuvich ba'arazim, a house that's built with cedar irhu, it's a city. What to say that it, as if it's not something that's easily destroyed? Isn't the concept of the pasuk trying to say that it's going to be destroyed? Ela fila bayis mesudach barazim. Rather, what the pasuk is saying is not that it's eira like a city, but rather a house that's even built with cedar is mistroy eira, where we find a term of aru, which is eira, could be a term of destruction, that even these strong houses will be destroyed. Amar Rav Ashi says, Shema Mino, what we could infer from this is that from this pasuk, which said, Chayir v'zbasaf, is ki maschal churvo, that when there's destruction, it begins, b'sifa maschal, it starts from the doorstep. That's where it opens, and that's where it starts from. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, Chayir v'basaf, v'ibay say in Mimhacha, or you could bring it actually, the sources from a pasuk in Yeshaya, that says, Ushi'iyah, which is a term of desolate, when you have a house that's empty from anyone dwelling over there. And because of that, you have different demons, Seirim, that are dancing over there, and they cause destruction and break the gates. Yukashar will destroy the gates. So again, we see that the destruction starts from this doorstep, from the gates. Now, Amar Bravashi, he says, I saw these demons. Umenagach kitari, and yeah, they gore like an ox. Amar Avuna, he continues with the previous theme. He says, Zamra denagde, that the song of those sailors that pull the boats with the ropes, that's permitted, because that's only to motivate them to work. And so too, ude vakare, the song that those who watch the cattle when they're plowing, and it's only, again, to help the oxen work in their toil when they're plowing, which because they move to the songs and they enjoy it. So that shari, those types of music are permitted. But the gardoi, but that of the weavers, or as other girsois have it, the galdoi, which are those that are the tanners, where their sing song is only for frivolity and for laughter. So that's also, that's forbidden. Rav Huna batil zim. Rav Huna stopped the practice of music, which is that he decreed on his generation that they shouldn't have music in their house and in their parties. So come mei avaza bezuzah. So even 100 geese was so cheap, and it costed only a zuz. And mei yisachite bezuzah. So to 100 saw of measurement of wheat was also only a zuz. And actually below yibayin, people didn't want to pay that much because there was so much bounty because of this takana. Now asr Rav Chizda came along in zilzalbay. He disgraced this takana. In other words, he wasn't particular to protest against people when he heard them with music. And the consequences were ibaya avza bezuza, when they were seeking to pay even one zuz for one goose, and even that they couldn't find. Again, because of the consequence that he wasn't particular about this takana of Rav Huna. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, again, continuing on this theme about Zemer, up until now we're talking about that due to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Sanhedrin, that it's not appropriate for music. Now, unrelated theme, Zamri Gavri, if men are singing, V'ani Nashi, and the women are responding in the chorus, that's Pritzusa. That's inappropriate. Now, Zimri Nashi, if the women are singing, V'ani Gavri, and the men are complimenting with in response, that's actually Ke'esh Ben Ha'iris. That's like fire to the strands of the straw. The reason being is because if someone's responding in the chorus, so you have to really pay attention and listen to the one who's singing to be able to respond appropriately. So it comes out that the men are really paying attention and listening to the women that are singing so that they could answer appropriately. Now the problem with that is that koil, the voice of a woman singing, is considered erev, it's considered immoral for men to be paying attention to that. As the pasuk says, Hashemin yes koilech, we find that that's considered an erev, just like other private areas of a woman. Now that causes the inclination, the yetzer, the desire of a man to be inflamed, like fire is with something very flammable. But the other one, when the men are singing and the women are responding, so that's, again, that's not, it's not appropriate. There is some inappropriateness over there, because again, the voice of a woman singing is an erva to a man, but again, it doesn't inflame him so much, because again, the one who's singing is not paying attention to the one who's responding, but they do hear it, so it's pritzusa. Now the Gemara wonders, Lamai Nafki, I mean, what is the difference? Both of them are inappropriate. What's the difference? How inappropriate? So that the Gemara answers that if they don't want to listen to us to stop both of these inappropriate things, at least Livitole Ha, at least that we should first try to stop the one about the women singing and the men responding in the choir to Har, which is like Ech Ben Ayus, Mik Me Ha, before we try to stop the one of the men singing and the women singing along with the man. Amr B'yechon, and he says, Kalashesa barba mini zemer, whoever drinks along with any one of these four types of music, maybe chamash pranis loyal, he brings five types of punishments to the world. So like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Hay mashkimi ba'baker, sheikh yir doifu. Woe to those who wake up in the morning and are running after intoxicating beverage. Ma'achri b'neshef, that they stay up late at night. Yayin yadlikim, it's the wine that fires them up. V'hayikiner, and there's the harp. The navel and the lyre, and taif and the drum, the chalil and the flute, so four types of zemer, and they're drinking to this type of music, the yayin mishteim, and their wine is their drink, v'espoyel Hashem lo yabitu, and for the acts of Hashem, they do not look. Now, so that's the sin. Maksiv acharav, what does it say after that? So it says, l'chein gola ami mibli das, so therefore my nation goes into exile without understanding, which is shagurman golas loyal. That's the first punishment. Causes exile to the world. Moreover, the pasuk says, "Uchvaydoy mesei rav," and its honor are those who die from hunger, shemavin rav loyim, that they bring hunger to the world. V'hamoyni tzichid sama, and their multitudes are those who are thirsty. It causes shagrimin l'tayrishesh tekechim lamdeo, causes the Torah to be forgotten from those who learned it, again, which is a spiritual thirst. And v'yishach adam, and man, it gets low down, v'yishbal ish, and the man gets humbled, it causes shagrimin shiflis l'sayni shakadosh baruch hu, causes that it should be low down, the enemy, euphemistically speaking, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because as we find, v'ein ish el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it says v'yishbal ish, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says in the pasuk, Hashem ish mochama, Hashem is the man of war. We find that Hashem is called ish. And finally, ve'in the gevayim tishpalena, the eyes of the high ones are lowered. Shagrim and shiflis shel Yisrael, causes the downtroddenness of the Jewish people. So those are the five punishments that come to the world because of the person who drinks with these four types of music. Now, maksev acharav, what does the pasuk say after that? Which it says before that, l'chein therefore, as the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis, which again, the concept of what the pasuk is that after these five punishments come to the world because of this person, that person then falls into Gehenna. As it says, Harchiva Sha'ol Nafsha, that Sha'ol, it's the Gehenna, opens up itself, Ufara Fiha Labli Chayk, it opens up its mouth without limit, the Yared Hadara Vahamayna Vesha'ina, and then its beauty and its multitude that in hordes enter it, Va'olezva, and then it exalts with these people that fall into Gehenna. And the Mishnah said, "Mishemesu nevim harishayim," that when the earlier prophets passed away, then the Ur Metumim stopped functioning. So the Gemara says, "Man nevim harishayim." Who are the earlier prophets? Amar Rav Huna zeh David uShmuel b'Shleima. Now Rav Nachman he says that actually, b'mei David, in the days of David, zimnin salik, sometimes it would work that they would get an answer from the Ur Metumim. V'zimnin loy salik, and sometimes it wouldn't work. Shahari, because as we find that when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom his son. So he left Yerushalayim, Shaul Tzadik, so he made a request from the Ur Metumim by Tzadik, who was then the Kohen Gadol, V'alsalai, and he got a response. Shaul Abyasavalai Alsalai, but when he made the request of Evyasser, he didn't get a response from the Ur Metumim. Shlema, like it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, says V'yal Evyasser, that Evyasser went up, meaning he was removed from the post of the Kohen Gadol, because he wasn't responded when he was wearing the Ur Metumim, as it's brought in the Braisa in Seder Olam. Must have Rabbi Bar Shmuel, he asked on this interpretation of that who are the Nevim Rishonim, that Rav Huna said it was a reference to David, Shmuel, and Shlomo, and then the Ur Metumim ceased to work. Pasuk in Devar Yom Beis says, Vayhi Lidrash Elikim, that Uziyah went to seek God, and the Gemara says, B'mei Zechariah, and the days of Zechariah, which he was the son of Yehoyada, who was in the days of Yayash, Hamevin Barois Hu Elikim, who understands in seeing God. Now, my lab, Ur Metumim, asked the Gemara, isn't that with the Ur Metumim? How does he get response from Hashem? And that's after the days of Shleima. Nothing more says, Lo, ibn Nevi'im. No, it was through Nevuah that he was able to get it, but not through the Ur Metumim. So the Gemara continues attempting to bring a raya regarding this halacha of Rav Huna, that the Nevi'im Rishonim, when they passed away, which is that's when the Ur Metumim stopped, that's a reference to David, Shmuel, and Shleima. So Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Rishon, from when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then Batla Arim Migrash, then the open space cities of the Levium, which required to have Migrashim, open space around them, they ceased to function. Upasku Ur Metumim, then the Ur Metumim stopped functioning. And Upasik Mel Beis David, then after the Churban Beis HaMikdash Rishon, there ceased to be a king from the household of David. The Imloch Shechadim Loimen, the Tana the Brisa says, now if someone's going to whisper to you that seemingly there's a pasuk in Ezra that contradicts what I'm saying, because the pasuk there says, Vayyema Hatirshasa Lehem, that Hatirshasa, which is a reference to Nehemiah, said to the Jewish people, which he was during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, which that's where Ezra went and rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, that he said, Ashalo Yechlu Mikodesh HaKodeshim, that no one should eat from the holiest of the holies, Ad Omid Kain Lo Urmetum, until we get a Kain that stands up, which is the Kohen Gadol, to have the Urim V'Tumim. So seemingly, someone would tell you that you see that there was an Urim V'Tumim that was available to be used and function in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, and that says the Tana of the Brisa, so Amar Lo, you should tell such a person, not that there was Urim V'Tumim in the second Beis HaMikdash, rather, it's Ka'adam Sha'im Al-Chaveroi, what Nehemiah was telling them was similar to what a person would be telling when he tells his friend that, you know when I'll let you do this? Ashayichu Mesim, when the dead get resuscitated. Or B'yavim Mashiach ben David, when Mashiach comes. Which, meaning to say that he was just trying to tell them that no one's going to be eating from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because until someone has Ur Metumim, which is the same as saying when Mashiach comes, meaning something that's not around anymore. It's only going to be something in the future. But one thing the Gemara asked that we see from the Braisa is, but obviously, but that the Ur Metumim functioned at least during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. It only says it stops after the first Beis HaMikdash. There were those who would tell you maybe during the second that he disproved. But that's after Shlomo HaMelech, and because that lasted the entire time of the first Beis HaMikdash, which is not like Rav Huna. So Elamer of Nachman by Yitzchak, he gets a different interpretation. The Ur Metumim that stopped when the Nevi'im HaRishonim were Nifter is not a reference to Shlomo, rather Man Nevi'im HaRishonim, who are the earlier prophets, it's Lafuke Michag Ezechari Malachi. It doesn't mean the first prophets, it means all the way down to the last ones, meaning Chag Ezechari Malachi, Dachrein knew that they were the later prophets, they were the last ones, meaning to say besides them, that's when the Ur Metumim stopped. The Tanna Rabban, like we learned in the Braisa, that Chag Ezechari Malachi are called the later prophets. Where the Braisa says, Mishemesu Chag Ezechari Malachi, when Chag Ezechari Malachi, who were prophets, when they passed away, they were the last of the prophets. That's why they called the later prophets. And this Talka Ruach HaKodesh Mishal, then the divine spirit removed itself from the Jewish people. Now, so therefore that, again, proves this point that it was up to them. That's when the Ur Metumim were Nifter, which was at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, says the Braisa, Vafa Pikein, although there is no more Nevius, there's no more prophecy, but still in spite of the Hayimishtamshin Bebaska, they would still utilize what's called a daughter of a voice, meaning some type of heavenly voice that would come from heaven. Whereas we find, Shepamachas Hayimishtubin Ba'aliyas Beiskurya Be'iricha. One time they were sitting around in the attic of Beiskurya in Yericha, which was later, after the time of prophecy. Nitna lein basko menashemayim v'armer. So there was a heavenly voice that came from heaven and that said, Yesh b'chem odem echad sheroyu shetish shechin alav. There is one of you sitting here that's fit for the divine presence to be resting upon him. Elashein doyer rolekach, but it's just that a generation is not fit for that. And nosnu enem behilazak, and all the tzaddikim sitting around put their eyes on Hill the elder, where that must have been referring to him. Ukshemeis hispidu, when he passed away, they eulogized him. Hey chassid, hey anav, that we have lost a pious one and a humble one. Tamid Shal Ezra, who was a student of Ezra. Now, Beshuv Pamacheres Hoyim Mesubim Baliba Yavna, there was subsequently another incident which happened in the attic that were sitting around in Yavna, where Nuslan Baskom and Neshamayim Rabbalim, again, there was a heavenly voice that came out and said to them, Yesh Bechem Odom Echad Shirosh Tishchin Shchin Alav, there is one of you sitting here that's fitting for the divine presence to be resting in him. Elisha in Der Zekonikach, it's just that the generation does not merit it. Where again, Nuslan Nim Beshmul HaKotten. In this gathering, they placed their eyes on Shmuel HaKotten, Ukashemesis Bedu, and again, when he passed away, they eulogized him, Hey Anav, Hey Chassid, where's the humble one, where's the pious one? Tamid Shahil, who's a student of Hill. And Va'afu Amar B'Shas Mesasli, he also said, at the time of his death, where again, shows this concept about that he had some level of prophecy, he said, Shimon V'Yishmol, which is a reference to Rabbi Shimon, who was the Nasi, and Yishmol is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was a Kohen Gadol, who they were murdered by the Greeks, L'charba, that they're going to be killed ultimately by the sword, the Chavroihi L'Ktala, and their colleagues will be murdered too, which are for other types of death, where, for example, Rabbi Kiva, who was combed his flesh with iron combs, and as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas, Tav Samach Alf Ambeis, Rabbi Chonadi ben Tradin, who was burnt, Rabbi Yehudim ben Bava, who was killed with iron spears, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Yudalim and Av, which again is well known, the Asar Hurugei Malchus. And Bishar Amal Leviz, he said, and the rest of the people will be plundered. The Akan Sagin Asidin Lamei Salam, and there's going to be a lot of troubles that's going to come onto this people. So again, we see that he really was a great person that was worthy of having the divine presence rest in him. And Va'af al Rabbi Yehudim ben Bava Bikshu Loimer Hei Chassid Hei Anav. And also by the funeral of Rabbi Yehudim ben Bava, they also wanted to say this concept about that this person that's a chassid and an anav. El Shanitra Fashab at the time got grabbed away, meaning they didn't get the opportunity. She'im Aspidin al Harugi Malchus, because we don't eulogize those who are killed by the government because of the fear of the king of having retribution, and therefore they protest and says, no, don't give a eulogy, because the king is not going to appreciate this. Continuing on the theme of our Mishnah that said, Mishichar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Batal HaShomer, so one of the things that stopped, ceased to function, was this Shomer worm. So Tarmon Lindner Braisa that elaborates on this and says that this Shomer, the Shamir, Shebei Bona Shleime Es Beis HaMikdash, it was with this worm that Shleime Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. And then like it says the Pasuk Melech Ma'alef, it says, V'habayis Behi Bonoisei, that the Beis HaMikdash, when it was built, Even Shleima Masa Nivna, complete stones were quarried, and that's how it was built. Which means Hadvarm kicks off, and the Rebbe holds this literally as it says in the pasuk, which is Even Shleima Masa. I mean, exactly how it was quarried from the mountain. They didn't chisel away with any tools, which normally you have to do, because the Shamir worm went and made it exactly to the measurements that it had to be. Now, Amalei Ibn Nechemya, and Nechemya said to Rebbe Yehuda, V'chiyav Shleima, can you really say that? But there's a pasuk that says later on over there, it says, Kol elav onim yikaris, these were all the precious stones, etc. Megeroris v'amageira, that was chiseled away with a chisel. So you see that obviously they did use tools. So rather, imkein matam alema, so what then does the pasuk teach when it says, le'nishma bevayis behibonaisi, that we didn't hear any tools being used when they were building the Beis HaMikdash. So that explains Reb Nechemya, shoyim maskin mi bachutz or machnes mi bifnim. It just means to say, because they prepared it on the outside, that's where they did the work on the stones, and then they brought it in, so therefore there was no work that was being heard on it, but of course, there were tools that were used in making the bricks, making these quarried stones for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Amar Rebbe comes and he says, Nirin div Rebbe Yehuda ba'avni mikdash. It says, it seems that the appropriate interpretation for the stones of the Beis HaMikdash are like Rebbe Yehuda, which it was not chiseled away, it was used with the Shamir worm. V'divri Reb Nechemya ba'avnei Beisa, in the words of Nechemya, with the bricks of Shlomo HaMelech's own house, that those weren't heard the work inside, the work was done outside, but that was chiseled away, and it wasn't used with the Shamir worm. Now, the Gemara asks, Reb Nechemya, Shamir l'mayasa. We know, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, Daf Samaches Amud Aleph, that there was a whole thing, how they brought the Shamir worm through Ashmedai, who was the king of the Shadim. So what was the purpose, according to him, for the Shamir worm, if he holds that even the stones of the Beis HaMikdash were chiseled away? What do you need the Shamir worm for? So the Gemara answers, Miboyele Likadetanya. It was necessary, for as we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Avonim Halolo, these stones, which were in the Eifed and the Cheshin, which were worn by the Kohen Gadol, Ein Kaitvin Eisen Bidyai. There the words cannot be written on the stones with ink. Mishem Shenema, because the Pasuk says in Shemais, Pituchi Chaisim, that the stones have to be engraved with a signet. So it has to be carved in. Now the problem is, V'imasartna lein bizemel, neither can you carve in with a type of a metal instrument. Mishem Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Bimilu Aisam. It has to be whole, complete, meaning you can't be missing any part of the stone. So, Ella, rather, what is done is, Chaisim alein bidyai, they would write the words, let's say the names of the Shvatim that are on the stones, on the stone with ink, umar lehen shamir mibachutz, and then they would put the shamir worm on top of the ink, on top on the outside, to carve out the letters that are on the stone. Behein nifkois malin, and then the stone would break, crack open in the shape of the letters by itself. Keteinazu, like a fig shenifkas b'meisachama, where when the fig gets ripe and it bursts and it cracks open in the summer months. But nothing is missing of it. And so to Ukavikazu, like the valley, Shanifkas b'meisag shamim, where during the winter it cracks open, and nothing's missing. That's exactly what the Shamir worm was necessary, according to this interpretation of Nechemya, were for the stones of the Eifed and the Chesh, but not for the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now continuing on this Shamir, Tanur Rabban, when the Braisa, Shamir Zed, this Shamir worm, Briyasa Kisa'ira, it's created in the size of a lentil, of a barley, umisheshes mevereshes never, and it was created in the first 6 days of creation. The inkal davar kasher yachalam befanav, but there's nothing hard that could stand in its way. It could crack through anything. Now, so the question is, b'mam hashamer noisa, so how do you hold it and safeguard it if it cracks through anything? So koichen oisa besvugin shol tzemes, so you wrap it in these wool shearings, these cloths of wool. You put into a tube of lead, and it's filled with barley bran. Now, Amr Ba'ami says, another thing that when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but l'shira peranda. So then this type of silk ceased to be. And b'schuchas levana, also there was no more white glass. Tanina mahochi, similar in the Brice. The Mishachar Mikdash Rishon, when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but l'shira peranda, this silk ceased to be, b'schuchas levana, and white glass. And v'rech of barzel, and these chariots of iron. And v'yeshtra, remember that those that say, afi yayin karish, habo misnir, also this congealed wine that would come from Sinir, Hademiki Gulu Devela, that was similar in form to these cakes of dates, of these figs, which again is this concept about where they get these thick congealed things. So this wine was very chashuv, that also ceased to be after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now another thing the Mishnah said that was stopped, ceased to be after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash was V'neifetz Sufim. So the Gemara asked, my Neifetz Sufim. So there's a few different interpretations in the Gemara. Amar Rav, he says, it's a reference to Selis, to fine flour, Shetzafa al gabe nafa, which floats on top of the sieve, meaning because of its, if its fattiness, it sticks to the walls of the sieve. V'doyma le'isa sh'neleisha b'dvash b'shem, and it's comparable to a dough that's kneaded with honey and oil, so that's where it gets its name of Neifis Tzufim, where Neifis is a reference to because it sticks to the Nafa, to the sieve, and Tzifim is because Tzafa, because it floats, it meaning to say it gets stuck on the top of the sieve. Again, that was something very chashiv, which ceased to be after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The Levi, I mean, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Shteki karis on the dvokis batan, if you take two loaves of bread that are attached to the oven, that's the way they used to bake in biblical times, that they used to slap the dough on the walls. So if you have two loaves on opposite walls, v'teivches ubois, and then they inflate and they come, achemegias zulazu, until they reach each other, meaning there was so much blessing that was found in the dough in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, that when you attach it, the loaves, to the walls of the oven, one on one wall, one the other one, so they would blow up until they actually go ahead and touch each other. So that is either like a knife, like the branches of a tree, that's where it gets knife, or actually kitzayif, which is like a peak. Either way, you get this word neifes tufim, which is the branches that are tzayifim, that float up in the ear. That's a reference to the blessing that was in the dough, which again ceased to be after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Levi, he gives a different interpretation. Zed dvash habo min hatzifya. This is a reference to honey that comes from the high mountains, which again, that's where it gets the word of tzayifim, because that's where those are the peaks that you could see very far. So the Gemara is my mashma. What is the understanding that we should say that it's honey that comes from mountains? Where do we find that honey comes from mountains? So the Gemara says, can the Targum Rav Sheshes, like Rav Sheshes, or as Rashi's Gears is, as we find many times in Shas, that it's Rav Yosef who gives the Aramaic translation, based on the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Aleph, that says, Kasher Tasena HaDevarim, like the bees make, where the Aramaic translation of that was, Kimo Denamtzen Davriyasa, like the bees ascend, V'shoyten Berumi Oila, and they float in the higher areas of the world, U'masyan Duvsho Me'isvi Tura, and they bring honey from the grass that's in the mountains. So again, we see this concept that's where the bees bring their honey from, and that was a good quality honey. And again, that ceased to be, according to this interpretation, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now, continuing on this theme, once we introduced it, of honey, the Gemara says, Tzan Hasim, we learned over there in Mishnah Masechtas Machshirin, that says, Kol Anitzik, anything that's it's flowing, meaning that's being poured from one vessel, which the contents are tahar, to another vessel, which is tamei, so then tahar, meaning to say that the flow does not combine the two cups to say that they're connected, to say that what was tummy in the bottom cup now transmits tumma to the cup that's being poured from, it's not. The top cup remains tar. Chutz, except midvash zifim, which is very thick, so it's like it's connected, because the flow, when you would stop, it actually would draw back, and whatever was in the bottom cup would come back into the top cup, as it's explained in the Mishnah Masechtas Machshirin. So we view them as connected, so therefore the tumma from the bottom goes to the top. And v'hatzapiches, which is also very thick, because that has the honeycomb, the wax of the honeycomb, together with the honey, so it gives it a very thick consistency. So these two things do combine the upper cup and the lower cup to transmit tumma to the upper one. So the question is, my zifim, what's this honey called zifim? So Amr Yechon, he says it's dvash shemezayfen by. The word ziyuf comes from that it's actually related to a lie or things that could be misinterpreted, where You have over here, since it's very good honey and very thick, so people would mix in water and wine, and it wouldn't be recognizable. So it's like a forgery. So it's honey that could be forged because of its very thick. You could mix in other things without being noticed. And again, that's why, because it's very thick, that's why it connects for Toma. Rish Lakish, he says, Hashem HaKayim, it was called Dvash Zif because the place where it came from was Zif. Kedachsev, like a pasuk in Yeshua says, Zif, Vetelem, of all these are different places. That's why it was called Dvash Zif. Now the Gemara says, Keyetzev Davata Imer, similarly you have this machlekes regarding the interpretation of Zif in the pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Bevoy haZifim v'yemer l'shal." When the Zifim came and they said, "Tashal halay David v'gamer." Whoa! But David is, as the pasuk there ends in Perek Nundal pasuk Beis, he's mistartim and he's hiding with us. Now, the question is, my Zifim. So Amr B'yechanan, he gives again the same interpretation. He says, "Bnei Adam hamazayfim devrayim." Says these are people that again are forgeries with their words, because to say they're liars and they're tattletalers, and here they go and they're tattletaling on the slandering for David. Whereas Rebbe Lazar, he says, Hashem HaKayim, and it was again based on their place, like we have the pasuk, Zif HaTelm of Alais, when it says the Zifim came, it means to say literally the people from Zif. Now the Mishnah also said that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash was Upaske Anshei Amana, that men of faithfulness ceased to be. So Amar Yitzchak, he explains, Elu b'nei Adam shein maminim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are people that trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, to be free with their money, to do things appropriate for Hiddur Mitzvah, for Tzedakah, for spending money on Shabbos and Yom Tovim, where the time like learn the Braisa. Rabbi Lez HaGadol Omer, he says, Kol mi sheyesh lipas basali, whoever has bread in his basket, you still have some money, some food. And still the person says, Ma oichel amacha, what are we going to need tomorrow? Because this bread's only good enough for today. He's from the small people of faith. Because again, that's what we're saying, this concept that the people of Anshei Amana, they're okay, they'll spend the money, and they trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hayin d'amr b'lazis, Rabbi Lazar says, Maidich said, what does it mean in the pasuk in Zechariah? Ki mi vaz l'yoyim ketanos, which literally translates as, that because who is degraded for the day of smallness? The interpretation is, mi garm l'tzadikim, who calls for the righteous, she is baz b'shulchan and lasad lavay, that their table, which is a reference to their reward in the next world, should be belittled in the world to come. In other words, they don't get their full reward, that's what the pasuk is translated. Mi baz liyaim, who went and belittled for the day, meaning the day of the future for the righteous, is ketanis, is because of their smallness of faith. Shahay bohem, that was with them, shalohimin b'kadosh baruch hu, that they didn't trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ravam, he gives a different interpretation of that pasuk of liyaim ketanis. He says, elu ketanei b'nei Risha Yisrael. These are the minors who are the sons of the wicked people in the Jewish people, meaning to say that they died when they were young, as we continue at Tabba Mem Testament Aleph, Shemavazvaz in Din Avihen, that they actually downgrade the judgment of their fathers, meaning they tear up the bad judgment of their fathers who are wicked, La'asa Lave, for the future, which is when their fathers come to judgment, Aim Lefana, of the sons that died when they were younger, say in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, if you're going to punish our fathers, then why did you torture them? Why did you make them mourn and be in pain over our death and punish them when we were alive? If you're going to judge them now, after they're passing away. So therefore, this is the claim of Kimi Vaz Liyayim, who goes and diminishes the judgment in the future for their fathers who are Rishon. That's Ketanis. Those are the minors who die when they're children. It takes away from the punishment of the Rishon, La'asa Labak.